Hello, and thanks for listening to the 14th episode of our Talking Alexa podcast. I'm Jonathan Patricio, Head of Technical Advisory and Alexa Evangelist, and I'm here with my friend Joel Evans, Alexa Champion and one of the founding members of our global Alexa Lab. Please say hello, Joel.
Hello, Jonathan.
Before we jump into today's topic, I wanted to give you a little more insight into why we started this podcast. Quite simply, we're big believers in the power of voice, and we want to share it with you. So please reach out if there's anything you'd like to know. Each week or so, we'll be discussing the latest voice trends and use cases, highlighting the latest features and releases, and of course, answering any questions you may have about getting started with voice in your business. Last week, we talked about Alexa and how to secure information and communication when the skill itself is handling your sensitive data. Joel also told us about some of the new gadgets that are always arriving in his mailbox, including the Moto X fourth generation. Today, I'm kind of rather excited myself. I have a shiny new iPhone X that is due to arrive in the mail this afternoon, and I'll be kind of interested to hear how Alexa sounds on this new device, with his big new speakers. I know, Joel, that there have been some exciting updates from the world of Alexa, as there always are. Would you care to explain?
Sure. Well, first, let me hit on my random gadgets. I'll take a minute. So the Moto X4 showed up. Beautiful phone, really fast. I think probably about as fast as your iPhone X. So we'll see. Price difference is a little bit different than your iPhone X. And I went to fire up Moto Alexa, which then allows Alexa to, basically always be listening. And it said that it wasn't supported in my region. So I haven't had a chance to go back to that. I think it might be because I actually didn't put a SIM card in it yet. So more to come there. Keep you on the edge of your seats there. And then separately, my Echo car exploration hit a couple of snags, which I'm going to force myself to fix by the next podcast, so I can report out on that. So that's my nice. That's my old news. The new news is Routines came out, I think, was it maybe earlier this week? And if you're not familiar with it, you download the latest version of the Alexa app, and there's actually a Routines section. And inside there, you can now choose from some of the pre-set phrases or utterances, as we would call them, and then it's effectively puts a whole routine together that you can choose from. So in my case, I have it, I can say, Alexa, good morning, and she will then turn my office lights on. I can actually control the brightness inside of that setting of how bright the lights will be. Then it'll do the weather, then it'll do the traffic, then it'll do my flash briefing.
Wow. Okay,
so pretty cool stuff. I told Ty about it. Of course, Ty Rowland, our CTO / Chief Innovation Officer, and he said, "Oh, joy, macros have finally come to Alexa." But I see it as not just macros. I actually, you have to think about this, and we just talked about it last week. You have to think about it from a security standpoint. Like, you're now permissioning in some of these features. Mm-hmm. So I haven't pushed the limits yet, but I was intrigued to see that right away it would see my Wi-Fi enabled light bulbs, and I can actually change the percentage that they would start up with without having to really do anything.
Let me ask, is there any control over which part of the skill? Say you kind of go, okay, this morning I don't have time to listen to the news and do my flash briefing. Can you skip it?
I haven't played enough with it yet, but I believe so, because you can set up a bunch of different routines. So instead I could say, Alexa, fast morning, or something like that. But it was fun to, and you can also, what I thought was cool is, obviously all the Echoes are connected to my house. I can assign it to only work on the Echo in my office.
Oh, that's cool.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
And I guess another kind of cool feature might be if you can assign it to the Everywhere group, can you actually sort of, so you can walk around your house between your bathroom and wherever you are, you can hear that team being played.
Oh, that's cool. Interesting. Yeah, and the other thing I thought was pretty cool is, using the Wi-Fi light bulbs, I was pretty limited to what I could say. So right now I say office on, office off, but I think I could probably create some routines that, really anything you could possibly think of could then just trigger my office lights for other people that don't know my secret codes. So anyway, that's my latest riffing on the routines. The other thing to think about, I think we got all excited and talked about this Echo Spot, last time, but one of the things we weren't thinking as much about is from a development standpoint, it will introduce some interesting challenges. So, you know, if you're out there and you're a developer yourself, or you're thinking about doing a skill and want to work with us, this is something that we're going to be taking a closer look at now, is looking at the form factor of the spot and seeing how many of our skills that we've made, you know, more specifically for the Echo Show, because that we were trying to customize a visual experience, you know, what that's all about. And we can report on that in a future episode.
That sounds good. And then I think the other thing that I had sort of got wind of was that there's been a change in policy for skills that are aimed at children. There was certainly a time, and I think you even stepped into this at one point, there was a checkbox that if you checked it, it basically barred you because you sort of said it was intended for children. And I think you mistakenly checked that, thinking that it was the other way around. And tell us that story.
Yeah, well, the logic was more like, yeah, I could see kids using this. So I checked off the box, and next thing you know, I was rejected. And to your point, I was then banned. So really, I was kind of like, okay, do I pull a special favor to get unbanned, or do I really dive deeper to see what was going on? So it was slightly misleading. I'm not the only one. I know a couple other people that this happened to. You know, we were very excited to see, and I can't remember when the official announcement was, but people are really catching on to it more. But when, you know, they sort of rolled it out and said, okay, now you can make skills targeting kids, and they determine kids to be under the age of 13 is when you need to do the special stuff. Right. And I mean, it's pretty interesting. Right now we've seen you know, stuff targeting much younger than the age of 13, I think would probably be the right way to put it, like Tickle Monster Game, you know, Zoo Walk, SpongeBob Challenges, that type of thing. But I'd like to see, and I haven't seen much, I'll have to do some more research on it, stuff targeting more towards like the, you know, the 12-year-old or the 11-year-old, so more the higher side of that range. Your thoughts on that?
Right. Yeah, you know, I think that that's a really great time of life, right? I mean, it's the sort of time where you're really, you know, understanding, you know, that there's education and schooling, but you still want to have fun and, you know, keeping your attention, you're starting to do sports and meet with, you know, friends. And so, you know, how do you create skills that are more than just games, and maybe even have some, you know, amount of gamification and leaderboards? I know that kids like to be competitive, right, and like to beat their friends at things. So, you know, then maybe that's going to be more of an element of these skills in future, is collaboration between, you know, players. Also, I think the gadgets and things will probably play a decent part, but then how do you also tie in, you know, sort of education? I think really the teaching profession could, you know, could assist here, right, in thinking through what would be pertinent and resonate with children of that age.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, they've got, as usual, the Alexa team has put together a great page on, you know, what does it mean to make a kid skill? What is, you know, COPPA or COPPA, the Children Online Privacy Protection Act. So it goes in all those details. You have to verify parental consent or get people to verify parental consent. And then there is still one of those mysterious checkboxes, not as mysterious as it once was, but, you know, they will only publish kids' skills in the United States. They're required to identify if your skill is targeting the kids by checking off little box, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So really, you just have to identify that it is targeting kids and not be malicious about it, I guess.
Is there any sort of additional review? Like if I submit a skill then for, you know, that falls into this realm, do you think the certification is going to take longer? Do we have any sense of what additional steps you might have to go through?
I don't think so, because it's putting it more on the developer to make sure of beforehand. And so you really are just supposed to make sure that you are, and I think it's natural to do it, right? You're required to do certain things. So you don't have to code in the ability for someone to say, yes, I'm accepting responsibility. That's sort of part of the enabling process. Cause I actually did, early on, grabbed a couple of these launch titles when it first went live, and I did have to step through and sort of, you know, accept permission that, you know, as a parent, so to speak. So there were a couple of additional clicks. You weren't just clicking enable like you do today or voice enabling. So they did do, you know, the right thing to make sure that, that the parent understands that their child is being targeted.
And yeah, again, you know,
to your point earlier, I mean, this came out a while ago, but I think, you know, there's still still getting some excitement around it, I guess is probably the best way of putting it. There's been some challenges out there about creating a kid's skill. I think there's just so much stuff happening around Alexa that it's hard to say what's, you know, what to focus on right now. I think the Echo buttons is also an incredibly exciting thing, especially as it relates to kids, because it creates a, you know, even more interactive experience.
Fantastic. That sounds really, really great. And I know that there's many people in our global Alexa lab that actually, you know, both have Echoes all over their houses like we do, and also have kids who actually, you know, surprisingly interact with their Echoes in ways that, you know, as adults, we probably don't even think of. They're, I would say, far less scared to say anything to that Echo than we might be. We sometimes, I think the older you get, the more cautious you are of new technology. You want to kind of make it right. And, you know, I think there's even a degree of, okay, I don't want to break it. And the kids don't even think about that, right?
They just talk at it. Yeah, they definitely don't think about that. The and it's funny you say that. So I've talked, you know, a lot about how I walk into my office and I say, Alexa, office on, and the light comes on. So the other night, I was talking to my 13-year-old, and he's like, how come I can't, you know, I want to be able to shut my sound machine on and off, and I want to be able to turn my lights on and off. How come I can't do that in my room? So I think they're starting to drink my Kool-Aid. I'm in trouble. And we had a bit of a power blip the other day. And sometimes when that happens for a longer period of time, the Wi-Fi bulbs have to be, you know, resynced. And it was like, oh my God, I have to turn this light on. By hand? What is this?
Yeah, like, where was that switch again?
Exactly. So always a fun adventure when you start exploring the new voice enabled world.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this has been really interesting topic of conversation, and I'm sure if you out there are thinking about, you know, implementing a skill for the younger generation, the very much younger generation, and you have a specific question, please, you know, feel free to send us that question. We'll be happy to talk about it, discuss it with you, and of course, you know, think about how we can actually apply some of the principles of group design to actually this new world and this new realm.
Jonathan, I think you might be breaking up a little bit, so we'll have to address that later.
Okay. All right. Am I
breaking up a little bit? So, I mean, to your point, feel free to send us your questions, give us your feedback, and please, please, please click through and let us know what you're thinking. And feel free to listen to the older episodes of the podcast that we've done. We're on episode 14 and many more to come, but there's some really great stuff inside the episodes 1 through 13 at this point, too. So I will sign off, and Jonathan will fix his
thanks for wrapping this up.
fix his bandwidth. All right, Jonathan, a pleasure as always. We'll talk soon.